Muralist and painter Aaron de la Cruz grew up in a working-class Mexican-American family in Fresno. He spent his teen years honing his graffiti skills on walls and freeway overpasses, but not quite believing that art could be an actual career. So when he moved up to San Francisco to go to the California College of Arts and Crafts, he chose to study illustration, a practical major his parents could approve of. At first, he thought his tagging days were behind him, but over time, he integrated his old and new styles into his own distinctive blend. Now, his minimalist pattern-based pieces adorn walls from LA to Taiwan, and his paintings, murals, and sculptures both fulfill his passion and pay the bills. He sat down with KALW's Jen Chien to talk about how he's managed to bring together his two worlds of high art and a working class identity.
I'm curious about how you feel, how you think about yourself in terms of street art and fine art. Those are two worlds that have been coming closer together over the years,
yes,
but in some ways are still separate. So kind of where are you situated?
I'm situated, I guess, in the gray area. Well, I don't personally, I mean, this is like no offense to anybody, the term street art, I don't ever use. I don't, like, if people say call me street artist, I kind of take, I'm like, no, I'm not a street artist, you know?
What does that mean to you? What's the, what's not right about it?
There's nothing wrong about it because I have friends of mine who kind of, I guess, do the same type of work that I do and wear that title with pride. But I think because of when I first, I think when my parents first saw that I had something, my dad kind of like showed me like a lot of like, you know, old just Olmec, Mesoamerican art. And then, and kind of saying like, look, like, this is like our lineage, our people. This is like how we created before all this stuff. And then when I kept doing it, it was like Diego Rivera and, you know, the whole Mexican muralist movement and things of that sort. So that was whenever I was like, okay, I wanted, like, because I think he saw that graffiti was such, it's like something that's meant, was so powerful to me. He's like, look, he's like, these are people who are working in the same medium, like working on walls, big, like talking to the people, but conveying a message at the same time. And these are people look like you. So I think wanting to be a muralist was something that I think I've always kind of sought to be, you know. I care a lot about people, and I care a lot about, in a way, like what's happening. And you know, I worked in public education for 10 years. So there's a lot of just different influences that I have. And I think just being like, I wouldn't say street artist because I think that I'm not easy with just that one title in a way. So, if that makes any sense. The good thing is, you know, I'm lucky enough that my work can go into these different mediums, but that's also like a really hard struggle too as well, because I'm kind of like, okay, like, you know, like, do I want to hop on all these different avenues or stay in one thing for a little while? So
I'm curious about, to follow that a little bit, just, you said that when you were in art school, your parents kind of nudged you to choose something a little more commercial, something with more money-making potential.
Yeah.
And you have gotten commissions and you've done things for more sort of corporate clients as well as these more personal projects. Do you think about those different types of work differently, or do you feel like you're doing the same thing as an artist? Is your process the same if you're painting a mural inside the offices of a fashion label? Or, for example, there's a piece that you just did recently in my neighborhood in Excelsior that I think is probably a more personal piece. It's just on a boarded up storefront. Mm-hmm. In a collaboration with a friend. So do you think about those things differently?
Yeah, I do. And I guess before going into that, it's funny, like, I kind of go about the first time I got questioned about producing art for, like, money in a way is when I first came to art school. I remember having a conversation with, like, peers, and they're like, well, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm producing work to, I want to make money off of my work. And not like that was the sole reason why I'm creating, but it was like, that's the only way I could survive, right? Like, if not, I'm going back to Fresno. And they were like, what? Like, you're a total sellout, this and that. And I remember I was like, I don't get it. Like, why all this anger towards wanting to produce a painting or whatever and sell it? And the reason why is because a lot of kids came from, I guess, better.
More privileged backgrounds.
Yes, more privileged backgrounds, exactly. And so that beat me up for a while because I was like, man, am I even doing this for like the right reasons, you know? But once again, I think like just kind of going with your heart and just kind of chucking through it. When I do create pieces, whether it be for like a commission piece versus like public art. It's for the most part, this, I mean, my approach is kind of always the same. I don't have a sketch and then I say, okay, it's going to look exactly like this, which a lot of people can work in that way.
And a lot of muralists, that's a traditional way to make a mural.
Yeah. Right? And so for me, I can say, well, it'll kind of feel something like this. You know, I can kind of general, like if there's going to be like some big shapes, I can kind of say, okay, well, this big shape will be there. But then the overall marks that I'm doing will kind of feel like this, but it's just going to happen right then and there. And some people are too afraid of that. And they were like, well, it's just too risky. But for the most part, people are on, you know, they're on to it. And I, you know, thank them for that, you know, cause it's just me put onto a canvas or onto a wall. Right.
I'm speaking with San Francisco visual artist, Aaron De La Cruz. I have a question. It may be sort of meandering. I'm not quite sure what I mean, but you talked about growing up working class and moving out of Fresno, coming here to San Francisco. You went to school with a lot of privileged kids. You live now in a predominantly working class neighborhood, but in a city that's rapidly changing its demographics and its kind of economic realities. I'm wondering do you feel like being an artist, becoming an artist, and living the life that you live now can be reconciled with your upbringing, with your past? How do you feel yourself kind of in that spectrum or in that dynamic? Does that make sense?
No. You lost me at reconciled. So what?
From speaking with you, you strike me as someone who takes both a practical kind of workmanlike approach to your artistic process, but at the same time, you have a pretty deep philosophy and can speak about the theory behind your process as well.
Okay, yes.
So I'm wondering how those two kind of sides of yourself interrelate.
I can answer that. Okay, so I think because, you know, having a found, like my parents growing up, right, like they really didn't know how to foster or encourage me to pursue art as a career because nobody else did it. So it wasn't even reality. It was like, okay, cool, you got a scholarship. We'll see you in a few years back here in Fresno. So, but I always looked at myself as not having like an art foundation growing up. But growing up, my parents, we're always building things. Like my dad, like taught my brother and I how to like lay cement. Like we tore down walls in our house and like added rooms. And this is just my mom, my dad, and my brother, you know, the four of us. You know, we put in the windows, we did everything. We created, but it was only by necessity, right? It was like just, and then my mom, she taught us how to sew, and she would tell us stories about when she made her clothes out of old flour sacks as a kid, because, you know, they were poor growing up. So once again, it was like, you know, I had all this, like, knowledge of how to create, how to make things, but it wasn't for art's sake. It wasn't for, you know, for people to, like, buy. It was just to protect yourself. And, you know, so I think that's why even now I still work towards producing work that is about like people. I think one thing about, you know, graffiti is that I had access to this art form and these pieces that were being done, and they weren't in a gallery setting, right? But it encouraged me to want to keep creating. I think it's, you know, I don't know if it's like my duty, but it's one thing that I make it a point to do is to always allow the public to engage with what I'm doing, whether that be by creating murals still or creating murals, or I do this thing where like I will create pieces of artwork that you can find in a gallery, but I'll put it and just say, hey, it's free, you know, come and get it. For me, the ultimate payoff is having a dialogue with people, and that's what pushes me.